Good evening, everybody. I'm Tom Lounges. Thank you for listening to Lakeshore Public Radio here on the dial at 89.1 FM and also for streaming worldwide. And I know we've got a lot of listeners out there tuning in because the group we've got on today, the music we're going to feature, is from an internationally famous band from right here in Chicagoland. So we'll be getting to that. We'll be debuting music from an album called Turn of the Wheel. It's the seventh album, I believe, we'll find out for sure, and certainly the newest from the Steepwater Blues Band. It's been a while since we've heard from them. We're going to hear from them tonight. Joe Winters, the drummer of the group and a co-founding member, will be calling in. We'll be featuring at least four or five of the new songs, giving them their world debut and talking with Joe. Stay with us if you want to blues it up.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Windsor Johnston. President Trump says he's ordering his administration to halt funding to the World Health Organization. NPR's Jason Beaubien reports the president is accusing the WHO of covering up the coronavirus outbreak in China and failing to slow the spread of the virus globally.
President Trump says the coronavirus outbreak could have been contained at its source in China if the World Health Organization had done its job. Calling the WHO very China-centric, Trump says the agency severely mismanaged the outbreak, repeated untrue claims from Beijing, and didn't share crucial information with the rest of the world.
The WHO failed in this basic duty and must be held accountable. It's time after all of these decades.
Trump's criticism comes despite repeated warnings from the WHO that the coronavirus was likely to spread globally. The WHO had urged nations for months to prepare to deal with it. Jason Beaubien, NPR News.
Seven crew members on board a U.S. Navy hospital ship have tested positive for the coronavirus. NPR's John Ruwitch reports the Mercy is stationed in Los Angeles and will continue to receive patients.
Navy officials confirmed that the crew members who tested positive for the coronavirus are all with a medical treatment facility. They're currently isolated off the ship. Officials say all who are considered to have been in close contact with those crew members are in quarantine off the ship as well. Officials say the ship is following protocols and taking precautions to ensure the health and safety of crew members and patients on board. The Mercy arrived at the Port of Los Angeles in late March to help area hospitals cope with an expected wave of coronavirus cases. Officials say this does not affect the ability of the Mercy to receive patients at this time. John Ruwitch, NPR News.
The Environmental Protection Agency says it will not impose stricter limits on the amount of soot in the air. NPR's Rebecca Hersher reports scientists at the agency have recommended that the EPA do the opposite.
Soot is the common name for very small particles of pollution released by power plants, cars and trucks, and factories. Inhaling soot is not good for human health. It makes asthma and other respiratory diseases worse and is broadly associated with shorter life expectancies. The EPA reviews national soot regulations every 5 years. Last year, EPA scientists published a draft report showing that the threshold for annual exposure to soot should be lower to protect health. The American Lung Association agreed. An EPA advisory committee of independent air scientists also agreed, but was disbanded by the Trump administration in 2018. Now, the EPA says it will not tighten air pollution standards. The final rule is expected in December. Rebecca Hersher, NPR News.
All of the major indices were higher today on Wall Street. The Dow Jones Industrial Average was up 558 points at 23,949. The S&P 500 up 84 points. This is NPR News. The governor of California is outlining a series of benchmarks for gradually reopening the state's economy amid the coronavirus pandemic. Governor Gavin Newsom says no timeline or date has been set, but any decision would be based on science, data, and input from public health experts. California has also pledged to join neighboring states to coordinate and share best practices on reopening states for business. The governor of Florida says the time is right to begin allowing some sports to resume if they can be done without an audience present. NPR's Greg Allen reports the coronavirus pandemic has shuttered professional sporting events around the world.
Florida's director of emergency management signed an order last week saying that employees at a professional sports and media production with a national audience are exempt from a stay-at-home order as long as the location is closed to the general public. WWE resumed live broadcasts from its facility in Orlando Monday. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis says he'd like to see some other sports follow suit.
If NASCAR does a race and can televise it without having large crowds, I think that's a good thing. I'd like to see Woods and Mickelson do the golf or whatever, because that's social distance.
DeSantis says he's creating a task force to discuss how and when to reopen Florida's economy. But in the meantime, he says, people have been starved for content. Greg Allen, NPR News, Miami.
New York Yankees co-owner Hank Steinbrenner has died after a long illness. He was 63 years old. I'm Windsor Johnston, and you're listening to NPR News in Washington.
Support for NPR comes from NPR stations. Other contributors include Jones Day, an integrated partnership collaboratively providing legal services for more than a century. 43 offices, 5 continents, serving clients as one firm worldwide. Learn more at jonesday.com.
Good evening, everybody. Thank you for supporting and listening to Lakeshore Public Radio here at 89.1 FM on the dial. Streaming worldwide in real time at lakeshorepublicradio.org. Tonight, as always, we're going to focus on music and the people who make it. And I am really hoping that soon we'll be able to get our guests live in the studio. We had a great show planned. We were months in the making to try to get the Steepwater Band live in studio. We were going to have all the guys here with their instruments playing, rocking, bluesing it up in front of a live studio audience. But, well, what do they say about the well-laid plans of mice and men? They went awry. So what we're going to do is we're going to feature Joe Winters, the drummer and co-founder of the Steepwater Band. He's going to join us by phone in just a bit. And Joe has forwarded us a few songs from the new album. The new album's called Turn of the Wheel. It's going to be released via Diamond Day Records coming up on April 24th. So you're going to get a sneak peek just by being right here on Lakeshore Public Radio with me on Midwest Beat. We're going to have Joe join us. We're going to talk about the making of the album, working with a new member, and the new dynamic of the band, and how they're going to cope with promoting this great new album in the wake of coronavirus. I mean, how do you do it? We'll find out what the plans are for Steepwater Band. But first, let's give you a new song. This one's one of my favorites. It features Joe Winter on drums. Joe Winters is playing some great beats on this one. It's called Trance. We'll get back in touch with Joe after this.
And you
Wake up from that trance, everybody. It's time to blues it up right here on Midwest Beats with yours truly, Tom Lounges. This is Lakeshore Public Radio at 89.1 FM. And I know we've got a lot of folks streaming worldwide at lakeshorepublicradio.org because these guys tour the world and they pack the house. Well, at least that has been the case. But it is no more. Nobody's out there touring. And we're going to find out how this great new music is going to get heard and see if we can reinvent the wheel a little bit with some promotions. Joe Winters is on the phone with us. Joe is the drummer and co-founder of Steepwater Band. And Joe, how are you?
Oh, I'm a little sad. How are you, Tom?
I'm very sad. I was so wanting to have you guys in the studio tonight. I opened the show by letting the listeners know what we had planned, and we were going to have a studio audience. We were going to have everybody here, and not that I don't love talking to you on the phone, my friend, but it's just a little anticlimactic compared to what it should have been.
Certainly is. We haven't had a record out in about 4 years, and, you know, we were all really looking forward to this next couple of weeks. We had a big release party planned. Obviously, we were going to do this thing with you, and also maybe a little listening party that we had planned in the region also. And you know, all of it pretty much went away, like everybody else's gigs and plans and trips and tours and whatever they were doing, you know.
Right. Now, a lot of bands, I'm getting press releases daily from everybody from local, regional, up to national, international artists, are postponing the release of their album. You know, ABC Bands album was supposed to come out, let's say, next week, and then I get a notice, well, they're postponing it until September or August or something like that. And it seems to be the go-to fix-it mode with a lot of these bands and labels. But you guys stuck to your guns. You said April 24th is coming out, and by gosh, you're going to release it on April 24th. Did you think of postponing it at all?
Well, to be honest with you, our agent actually kind of begged us to postpone it. And a couple of reasons that we didn't. One, we haven't had a record out in 4 years, so I didn't really want to make it 4.5 or 5. And we were really excited to get it out, and it's been in the can for a little while. And two, we had already started the pre-sale. It had already been, like, uploaded for all the streaming services.
Oh.
And we had already started the pre-sale, and people had started to order it from our website, a considerable amount of people. And I didn't want to go through the hassle of trying to refund people's money. Like, they had started ordering it before the lockdown and all the, you know, things went in place. And honestly, when I looked at it, I thought, Jeff and I discussed it, and we thought that giving people something to listen to, I mean, you're stuck in your house. What better is there to do than to listen to records? And people who like our band like to listen to records, like put a record on, put a CD on, not just like stream something off their phone.
Right.
So I just thought all the way around it was probably the best idea to go ahead and put it out on April 24th. So you're right, we stuck to our guns like we always have with everything, and we're putting it out.
Very good, very good. And I'll tell you, what I've heard of it so far, it's definitely, you know, something that people are going to want to take home and listen to over and over again. And I just bought myself a brand new turntable. I hooked it up 2 days ago. And the only thing I've played on so far has been Bob Dylan. And I can't wait to get your vinyl because I'm going to be playing a whole lot of that.
Well, we're going to make that happen real quick for you, for sure.
Now, you're one of the few local bands. I shouldn't say local because you guys play everywhere. But to me, you're always going to be local because you're hometown. But you're one of the few bands from the region, shall we say, from Chicagoland, that has wisely put out vinyl music, vinyl albums, even before the curve when everybody got trendy with it and said, oh, yeah, vinyl's back. You guys were sticking to your guns on that, too. Why is that, and how have vinyl sales been? Let's talk about vinyl so that maybe some of the other groups out there that are a little gun-shy can take a lead from Steepwater Band and say, yeah, you know, they're doing it. We should do it, too, because vinyl is definitely back.
Yeah, I'm always trying to get my friend's band to make records. I don't know if you're friends with Mark Mybeck from the Nomad.
Oh, band, yeah. But I've tried to get them to do it.
Man, every time we play a gig together, I'm like, dude, you got to get your stuff on vinyl. I want to spin it, you know. And it's an expensive proposition. I'm not going to lie. Like, to be able to make records, it costs a lot of money, and then you have to be able to garner that back to pay for that.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, it's not an easy thing. But you know, you remember you were at our band house back in the day.
Oh yeah,
you know, 20 years ago, and in St. John, and that house that's all we did in that house was listen to records, you know? I mean, that's what all of us have extensive record collections. We're all way into vinyl, and we're way before, like you said, the comeback all happened. And so right away when we started making recordings, we were like, man, we got to get our records out on vinyl, because just because we like to listen to it like that. So we figure people who are serious about music would want to hear it the way we would want to hear it. So we got pretty busy with making records pretty early. It took a little while. We had gotten signed and we were on a label that only made CDs the first time around. So it took until we could get on our own for a little bit to do it. But yeah, we've stuck to it. We've been doing it since about 2008. And yeah, it's fun, man. It's fun for people to be able to like go home with like a record.
Yep.
You know?
And you package them well, too. I mean, I'll give a little plug to my store here, even though we're closed right now. The Record Bin, one of the best-selling regional-based bands, I guess you would say, is Steepwater Band on vinyl. We've got your Diamond Days, the best of. When Jeff Massey came in and played an acoustic show for us, he had a box of them, and we bought a bunch of them, and we have sold them. I think there's one left, and I may take that one home on my new turntable now that I've got it again. But
you need to.
I do. But, yeah. I mean, it's great because people are buying them. And honestly, CDs are kind of stiffened on the retail end. I'm probably selling more cassette tapes than I am CDs now.
That's crazy. Yeah, it's really crazy how people have just decided that CDs are basically worthless, because they'll listen to it on their phone or whatever streaming device, you know, and Spotify and Apple Music and everything that's come into play. It's people, they're not really interested in having a piece of digital plastic in their house. If it's going to be anything, it's going to be a record, or they're going to stream it off their phone or whatever. So it seems like CDs have kind of died out, but we have sold a few of this new record that have been going out already. And we always have them at our merch table. You know, we'll probably always, just because it's a hard piece of product that you can sell at your merch table, that people can go home from a show if they don't have a turntable set up. Chances are they might have a CD player in their car, but even that now, they're making cars without CD players.
Right, that's kind of
crazy.
That is crazy.
Right? Yeah.
But people can get your product, all the different albums, and the new one soon, at steepwater.com, correct? You have your own store there?
Yeah, there's a store there now. We launched it for the pre-sale of this record. It's through a company called BigCartel.com, but it's linked through our website at steepwater.com, and you can go there, and there's different bundles. We have a bunch of different merch, T-shirts and coasters and koozies and guitar picks and all kinds of stuff.
Wow, you guys are getting big league here. You got your own coasters now.
Man, we have had such a great team that has worked on this record that if we get to it, I'd like to mention some people definitely
sure.
In this interview. But a guy named Jason Herman at JKHD Design up in La Crosse, Wisconsin. He branded the record and did all the branding and design and layout and all the merchandise. And he has been amazing. He also set the store up, and definitely has been a great guy to have in our corner. So
wow. If you just tuned in, this is Lakeshore Public Radio at 89.1 FM and streaming worldwide at lakeshorepublicradio.org. My guest is Joe Winters. He's the drummer and co-founder of the Steepwater Band. They've been rocking for 20 years, have a brand new album out, and we're going to feature the title track right now. This is called Turn of the Wheel, but don't go anywhere. Don't you turn your wheel away, because Joe Winters is going to join us on the other side once again.
And you're in a real mess of a way.
Turn of the Wheel, that is the title track of the new Steepwater Band album. And Joe Winters is my guest, drummer and co-founder of the band. And Joe, I was looking at your store here on the website while that song played, and I was checking out your coasters and your new t-shirt and everything. And I love the rat. You got a rat on a wheel. It's so bad. I love it. Dude, this is the coolest rock shirt I have seen in forever. I've got to have one. I got to order one of these. These are great. Who designed that?
Oh, there's such a story behind all of that.
Does that represent the region? The region rat? Is that what that's for?
No, not really.
No, okay.
Really. So our guitar player Eric Saylor, it was basically most of the idea came from him as far as the rat and the wheel. A guy named Shelby Kelly down in Indianapolis designed the cover, designed the rat, designed all the amazing artwork that goes with the record, with the cover and the back cover and the broken chain and all this cool stuff. But essentially, I don't want to get too much into it, but we had an old manager label guy from a million years ago that we had a meeting with, and semi-recently, and he kind of gave us the business about being a rat on a wheel that's not going anywhere, and
ooh,
just running in circles and just not really doing anything. And he's like, you know what you guys are like a rat on a wheel, just keep doing the same thing over and over. And it just kind of stuck in the back of our minds. So, you know, I mean, it didn't sit well. So here we were a couple years later, and we were making this record, and the lyrics really had nothing to do with that at all. It was
mm-hmm.
Jeff had written the song Turn of the Wheel, and it's a very much a positive song about staying in the moment and about just being happy with where you are and what you're doing today right now. And and we were going to make the artwork, and Eric said something about, well, what if we had like a rat in a wheel, like, you know, like the old manager guy said from years ago, you know, like, what if we had a rat running in a wheel? Wouldn't that be funny? You know, and we didn't really even think or say much more than that, but we all just kind of knew, like, yeah, that's a cool idea. And so we asked this guy, Shelby, who designed all the artwork, hey, man, could you make a rat in a wheel? You know, like, okay. And he did. And man, thanks for the compliment, because we didn't really know how it was going to be received.
Oh, I think this is awesome. I think Shelby did a great job on this. And what was Eric's part in, Eric Saylor? Was it his idea?
Yeah, well, he thought of the idea of the rat in the wheel, and then he thought of the idea of us kind of walking in the wheels, kind of like turning the gears.
Mm-hmm.
So he had Shelby put this thing together with the gears turning and the chain, and then if you open it up, the rat is in the inside kind of driving the whole gear. And it's, man, it's really cool. You got to see the inside of the whole
thing. I can't wait to see the vinyl.
And then on the vinyl itself, on the record, the circle in the center, the label of the record, is the rat. So when the record spins, it looks like the rat running in the wheel.
Oh, man, this is the coolest. And who says you're stuck in a wheel, man? You're being very proactive, very evolving here. I mean, I think your marketing on this is outdone anything you've done, and you guys have always been ahead of the curve on stuff like this. I mean, you've always been very pro-marketing and pro-promotion. I mean, a lot of bands sit back and say, okay, we made the music, now everyone's going to run and buy it, kind of that Field of Dreams mentality. But you guys actually make sure people have a ticket to the gate to get into the ballpark here. I mean, you entice us to buy. I mean, I'm already looking. I was going to buy the last one, the Into the Now package with the signed vinyl, but it's already sold out. Tell me you're going to sign more copies, because it's just not being released yet, and it's already sold out. I love it.
Yeah, well, there's a story behind that too. Maybe we can't get together to sign records, and so that's why it has to be sold out. Thank you so much, Tom, because it's been a little bit of a struggle to get this record made. It's been a tough couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a member change, and hardest of all, our current and longtime manager, Stephen Syme, passed away in October of last year. And who was not the person that said we were stuck in the wheel, by the way. But
right.
Stephen had undergone a double lung transplant at Northwestern Hospital in Chicago, and he struggled for about a year. And he had managed the band since about 2005, 2006. And so he was our longtime, you know, number one supporter and closest confidant and friend and champion of our band ever. And he passed away in October. So a lot of the marketing and the business side has fallen on us, on the band, and on people in the band that didn't really do a lot with that stuff before, you know, like
right.
we were either on labels or had a manager or had something going on all the time. So this one, it was a little like a question mark. Are we going to be able to do this again without some of these people that were around us before? And, really, really appreciate the compliment, man. That really makes me feel good. Thank you so much.
Not a problem. Well, I remember hearing some of these songs stripped down when Jeff Massey was in studio here, and he played acoustic, and, you know, it was on his solo acoustic album. Oh, that's a great song. It's a shame Steepwater, you know, you took it. And he's like, oh, no, no, I'm doing a stripped down acoustic, you know, as I wrote it. He goes, the band will get the songs. And a lot of them are on here, like Abandoned Ship. And I think Turn of the Wheel was actually...
No. Abandoned Ship's the only one.
Okay.
Yeah, that's the one. And the reason that I wanted to play that tonight was I know how highly you thought of that acoustic record. And
mm-hmm.
I caught that interview you did with Jeff and you guys talking about doing some of those songs. And that was my favorite one of that record. So I wanted to play it tonight. Hopefully you're gonna
do
that.
We'll definitely get to that. Let's talk a little about the album itself. Now, it has been 4 years. Shake Your Faith came out in 2016. That was your last one. And as you mentioned, there's been a lot of changes. Let's talk about the dynamic of those changes. I wasn't sure what to expect when I was going to listen to the Steepwater versions of these songs, these new songs, because there was a key member that left, Todd, your bass player, former, you know, co-founding member. Joe Bishop has now stepped into that role. And, you know, the rhythm section of a blues-based band is paramount to the sound. What's it like being the drummer with a new sidekick, so to speak, a new partner? You and Todd had been together since high school, previous Steepwater days, and you guys, it was like osmosis with you. You could read each other's minds and grooves, and it was magic to watch the two of you work. And now Joe's in this spot. How has the transition been, and how has the evolution adjusted to the studio performances?
You know, exactly how you described it is true and honest. Todd and I had a great chemistry for a long time. He was the only bass player that I played professional gigs with for decades. And Joe has stepped in, and honestly, we got the right guy, man. He crushed it. Like, he is right there. He fits in musically. He fits in personally. He's easy to travel with. He's fun to play with. He listens. He knows when to play, when not to play. He has been amazing. And I think it's almost like a different, like, I don't know, like, it's like just as cool, but in a different way. Maybe like Todd's more of a jagged player and Joe's more smooth, but the smoothness that he has brought to this record is just right there in our wheelhouse, man. He really... We didn't skip a beat. He came in, we gave him about 10 or 12 songs to learn, and we were like, look, we're not looking for perfection. We're looking for feel, and if you get it. And he came in, and he played in Jeff's basement in Crown Point with us for a few hours, and at the end, we're all just kind of looking at each other, and Joe said, well, Jeff said to him, hey, maybe you could leave your bass amp. He had this big custom bass amp, and he's like going to move it, and Jeff's like, well, maybe you could leave it here, you know, until next practice. And then Joe was looking at him like, does that mean I got the gig? You know, we're all just like, well, we're gonna jam next week, you know. So Joe has been a godsend to this band, and really maybe in some ways saved the band. I mean, he we knew we wanted to carry on, but if we couldn't find the right guy at the right time in the right mm-hmm. place, then maybe we wouldn't. and Joe Bishop is the guy, and it's been fantastic.
Where did he come from? I mean, how did you meet him?
So it's a long story, and I'll try to keep 30 seconds on it. But he was a fan that first saw us open for Government Mule at the House of Blues in Chicago about 12 years ago. And he became a fan. He lives out in South Bend, and he would come around to our gigs sometimes, and he would tell us, like he had been playing bass. He grew up in church. His dad was a preacher. He grew up playing bass in the church with his dad in the band. And he would tell us, man, seeing you guys just made me, like, so excited to want to, like, be in bands and play rock music. And he started playing in bands, and he kind of became like the token guy in South Bend that if you had a gig and needed a bass player, you called Joe Bishop. So he was in like five or six bands in South Bend, Indiana, playing like three, four, five nights a week all the time. And I just always kind of kept in touch with him. I saw him on social media, posting his gigs, playing. And when Todd decided that he was gonna leave the group, I called Joe to say, hey man, I don't know if you're interested, but it looks like Todd's not going to be coming back to the band after we take our little hiatus. And he was very interested, and that's pretty much the end of that. He came in and jammed. I told you the story, and he's been fantastic.
So he's all geared up to do this first big tour with you guys, and now this happens.
Yeah, I feel so bad. If there's one person, I feel bad for all of us. But I was so excited for him to go to like Spain and the UK. We had great tour dates in June that are not officially blown out. But any minute I'm waiting for the call that they're probably not going to happen. I don't see international travel happening in June. But
right,
yeah, we probably had 30 gigs lined up behind this record in April, May, June, till 4th of July. And as far as I know, our agency, which is Intrepid Artists in Charlotte, North Carolina, they are scrambling to try and figure out how the summer and or fall is going to go. And it's hard to plan anything because you don't know when things are going to get rolling again.
Right. I'm in the same boat with some of the festivals and things I do. You know, it's like, okay, we're good to go, but that could change tomorrow. And some of the shows I've got booked at theaters, it's like we thought they were good to go, and I've just canceled a few of them for June. You don't know. It's like, when do you call it? You know, and leave enough time to sell tickets and to let people know and to make plans. It's crushing. I got to say, I'm really happy to see the camaraderie and the unifying that the music community has had. Everybody's kind of helping each other through online stuff, and we see a lot of the performances here and there. And I know you guys are having a hard time doing it because of the fact you're all scattered all over the place. It's not like you can get together in the basement and throw the phone camera on. I think Jeff might have done a couple of acoustic things, hasn't he?
Not yet.
Not yet?
He's been hiding out in Crown Point, man. I mean, he's a tough guy to get on the phone even these days right now. I think he's just waiting to see all what's going to watch this go away, you know. But, I don't know. You know, we are old school guys, and we are very analog guys. And I see these videos of these bands jamming, and they're on Zoom, and they're in four quadrants. And I'm like, how are these guys doing this? Like, I literally don't. None of us are super tech savvy in that way. So I don't know. I don't know what how we're going to proceed, but we're hoping to get on the stage as soon as possible. In the meantime, we have this record that's going to go on all the streaming platforms next weekend on the 24th, and we're going to continue to give little nuggets of that out online and sell records online. And we do have a music video as well that got whipped up by our director, who we were supposed to do a video for Trance, the first song he played tonight, and we were going to shoot it in March, and the shoot got shut down because of the lockdowns, and our director, who was going to shoot the video, found some stock footage from the first show that Joe Bishop ever played with us, and he put together a little video for the song Make It Right, and we're going to have that available coming up probably Monday before the release here next week. So So we have a music video. We have the online pre-sale. We're going to continue to communicate with people via social media, and hopefully we'll get Jeff to pick his acoustic up and play a couple of these numbers for everybody next week. We'll see.
That would be great. Well, speaking of Make It Right, let's play that, and we'll be back with you in just a moment. And, of course, we're still going to get to Abandoned Ship before we say goodnight, but this is Make It Right. It's off Turn of the Wheel, the newest album from Steepwater Band, their seventh studio and their latest, due out April 24th, or you can get it right now at steepwater.com. Let's check it out.
Best of love.
When it comes to music, when it comes to albums, these guys, in fact, do make it right. Steve Water Band, that's new stuff off their latest album, Turn of the Wheel, officially coming out on April 24th. You can get it right now at steepwater.com. You can order it. There's all kinds of packages with cool stuff, lots of great swag that you'll want to buy because I know I want to buy it, and I just got on there. I'm ready to open up my wallet here, Joe, and give you a credit card. I want this stuff. This is cool stuff.
Okay, cool.
Well, one of the things that's unique with this album, too, and again, we were talking about all the changes that have gone on with Steepwater Band. One of the things that happened with this album was you stepped back a little bit, too, because your producer on this album is your brother.
Yeah, my brother Jim. We came home and we recorded the record at his house, which is across the street from Lake Michigan in Miller Beach. It's called the Vigo Street Studio. My brother Jim Winters, he produced and recorded our Revelation Sunday record that got us a lot of notice in Europe to begin with in 2006. And it's funny, there's a parallel there. When we did that initial record with him in 06, we felt like our backs were kind of against the wall. We had been dropped from a record label. The aforementioned manager who said we were the rat in the wheel. We had been let go from all of that. We had had a member change with Mike Connolly leaving the band at the time. Mm-hmm. And we had become a trio. And my brother just kind of said, hey, why don't you come over to my house? I got Pro Tools. I got a bunch of great microphones you could set up in my living room. We'll see what happens. Well, that Revelation Sunday record became like our most popular record worldwide, and to this day kind of is. And it was a similar situation. We had a member change. We had some downtime. We actually had a stint with a label out of Cleveland called, Sun Petal Records. And that kind of, that record deal had gone south, and we were broke, and it was kind of a parallel situation. So my brother kind of said, well, if you guys want to come over and spend the weekend and play your songs and get used to jamming with Joe Bishop on bass in the studio, let's just see what we can do. And that's essentially what we did, was we set up in my brother's living room and jammed. And I feel like that quality rings true. You know, it's like my brother treats Pro Tools like he's running a 16-channel analog 2-inch tape machine. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm,
like,
mm-hmm.
He just basically says, go, and we jam. And that's what we did. And I think it has that same energy, that same raw quality, that steep water rawness to it that we maybe haven't had in a couple of records.
Right, right. Although that's not to say those past records were bad by any means. I mean, you had some great talent in the on the sliders and on the knobs. I mean, Mark Ford from the Crows was on Grace and Melody, as I recall, and yes, that gave you a different sound. That album was a different sound from coming off Revelation Sunday.
For sure, and we learned a lot from working with Mark, and he taught us a lot about restraint and a lot about working in a studio environment, and we've kind of carried that along. Like, this record has a raw energy, but it has a maturity that I think only comes with learning and with being in a studio with guys like Mark Ford.
Mm-hmm. One of the things that I like about Steepwater Band is the sound stays true, but it always seems to evolve in different ways, and perhaps because of the different producers, the different members, the different things that have happened as life progresses. But one thing that I like is that you're not painted into a corner. A lot of people, and myself included, often say, oh, Steepwater, yeah, great blues rock band, great blues band. You are definitely rooted in blues, but there's a little touch of grunge in there. There's definitely some classic rock leanings in there. And some of your drumming, even, if I dare say, has a little bit of a jazz quality to it, a little Charlie Wattsism sometimes. So I don't really know how to describe the band these days. I mean, yeah, you're steeped in blues, but I think you're so much more than that. How would you describe the Steepwater sound?
Well, it's certainly a rock band anymore, you know. I like to say that we started the band like a blues band, the same way the Rolling Stones started playing blues in the pubs in England, and then started writing songs. We were the same way. We We started playing gigs around Northwest Indiana, playing in the bars, playing blues songs, Muddy Waters songs, Elmore James songs. And then we started getting itch to write songs. And so we would come up with our own ideas. And soon enough, we had a record deal, and we were making records and singing our own songs. And it's a very parallel situation. Obviously, you know, the Stones are legendary. I'm not trying to put us in that league. But in the way that we were influenced by the Stones, we took the same kind of influence and parlayed it into writing our own songs. And these days, man, it's kind of anything goes. There's a song on the new record that has a very Neil Young quality called Big Pictures. There's, there's a song that I haven't sent you yet called In the Dust Behind. That's a very Eagles kind of like with some harmonies and a very like country, California country rock kind of vibe. Man, we're into it all. And the jazz thing, thank you for that compliment, because for sure Charlie Watts and Ginger Baker were my guys, and there were not two drummers, rock drummers ever that had more jazz leanings than those guys. Mm-hmm. But yeah, we all, as I was saying earlier, we all have extensive record collections. We all love rock and roll and blues and jazz and the heavy metal that we grew up on. And it's all, at the end of the day, you probably know this as well as anyone, but with all the different artists that you've seen along the way, it's all really the same song, you know, where it's all just your take on the same song is
right.
All it ends up being.
Right. We all borrow from each other. Like the old adage goes, everybody stole from Chuck Berry and just reinvented it.
For sure. Couldn't have said it better, Tom. I agree.
Now, this new album, and again, it's going to be out on all the usual places online to buy, whether it's CD or vinyl or digital. But are you going to have it in brick and mortar stores? I mean, I certainly want to carry it at our store, but with the growing trend of vinyl being back and more stores opening, do you see it being available in the brick and mortars?
Regionally, yes. Several stores in Chicago that I have been in touch with that are interested in doing it on bring in two copies, three copies, whatever it is. In Europe, there's going to be some stores. Well, if there was supposed to be, if stores open again, who knows right now, but there'll be some stores carrying it in Europe as well. Vinyl's a hard thing to distribute because it's hard to make more than 500 or 1,000 at a time up front. So to distribute them and have them sitting in stores that you don't know if they're going to sell, that's a tough situation again. So best bet is get it online from our stores, deepwater.com, but there will be some stores from cats like you that we know that are out there with the people selling records to them that know our band, love our band, and want to sell it to people. For sure, we're all about that.
Okay. Let's talk a little about the songwriting evolution here. Again, Joe Bishop, new member, bass player, joined this year for this album. How has his presence affected the dynamic of the songwriting? I know Jeff brings in a good chunk of what you guys have, but I also know from Jeff that you guys all contribute to the making of the finished product. So how has Joe contributed, or is he a little timid being the new guy?
Yeah, I don't know if I'd use the word timid, but he definitely was kind of just hanging out, navigating the ideas. Like, things were flying around the room, and he was just kind of coming up with his bass lines. And I suspect that as we move forward, he'll have a lot more of his original ideas that will come. But he wrote all his bass parts. He was super easy to, if we started a groove, any time that a new groove happens, he falls right into it. And he has been, fantastic to work with, super easy to travel with, super fun to be around, and just great. His bass playing, I think, is just, it's a whole new smoothness to Steepwater. And we all write the songs together. It's a group effort. So when Jeff would bring things, there's never any kind of like, this is the way the song goes. It's always like either a blueprint or a riff and then you kind of interpret it. And Joe's interpretation on the bass was as good as anybody that played in our band. So he's right there for sure.
What's next? I mean, obviously, we're waiting for this coronavirus situation to straighten up and get you guys back on the road. But with this album done, are you? It's probably too premature to say, but I know Jeff said you guys are constantly writing and there's a backlog almost of songs. Even with his solo album, his acoustic album, he said there was so many he didn't put on the album. Are you still writing? What's the direction at this point? Are you taking this time, this hiatus from each other to sit down and put song ideas together?
I actually asked Jeff the other day on the phone if he was writing, and he said, yeah, he's got lots of ideas. So, basically, as soon as the lockdowns lift, the first thing is to get back in a room. We haven't played a gig since like the middle of March. So the first thing would be to get back in the room together and play these songs from this record, because we were supposed to get out on a tour and play this record. And the release parties in Indianapolis and at Fitzgerald's in Berwyn, where we were going to play the whole record in its entirety. So we need to get this record rehearsed. I'm sure we're going to, if in fact the whole summer gets blown out, I'm sure we're going to be sitting around jamming, writing, and chomping at the bit to get in and record. Who knows? Maybe by the time it's time to get out on the road for this record, maybe the next record will be getting conjured up. I don't know, but, you know, we had some great gigs. We were supposed to be in Europe in June at the Azkena Rock Festival in northern Spain with Brian Wilson, John Fogerty, Patti Smith on this festival, and one of your old favorites, Susie Quattro.
Oh, dude, I'm going to be in your suitcase hiding. I love Susie.
I know, and that's why I wanted to bring her up. So she was supposed to be on this gig with us at the Azkena Festival in Spain, and it's June 20th or June 19th, and I haven't gotten official word, but I'm hoping they just can push it out to like September or something. I don't know. We got noticed. We're supposed to be on Summerfest for Milwaukee, and that has gotten moved. And we got noticed that we're still being considered to be on that in September. I don't have an exact date. So we're hoping that once the gigs pick up, we're out, we're playing. You know, another gig that I think I mentioned to you, we're supposed to be at Wolf Lake in Hammond opening for REO Speedwagon on August 28th, and I really hope that happens, because that's so fun. Hometown, opening for a big band. There'll be a big crowd there. It should be great. So I would just say, anybody that's interested, support the record, buy the record, and watch our website, watch our social media, and the minute we can be out playing, whether it's internationally or right in our backyard, we're going to be playing.
All right. And that's steepwater.com. You can also find the guys on Facebook as well. It's the Steepwater Band on Facebook, correct?
I think so. Yeah, that's Steepwater Band. Yep.
Okay. Joe, is there any quick shout-outs? Because I want to get to Abandon Ship, and we're just about out of time.
Yeah, this has been really fun, Tom. Shout-out number one, you. Thank you for always supporting us, man. 22 years, bands prior to this. Thanks for everything.
You're welcome.
Really appreciate that. As I said, my brother, the guys in the band, Joe Bishop, Eric Sailors, obviously Jeff Massey, and his amazing lyrics on this record, and Shelby Kelly, Jason Herman, who did the artwork, my buddy down in South America, Alex Barcellos, I got a shout out to him. He's in Rio. He did our promo video where the album cover comes to life and is animated, and it's incredible.
I checked that out on Facebook. It's excellent.
Yeah, super cool. And our agency, Intrepid Artists, in North Carolina and Charlotte. And our director, Tim Schmidt, that did the new video that's going to be coming out next week. And otherwise, all of our families and our wives, Angela, Barb, Tracy, and Tracy, who have stuck behind us and supported us through all of everything for the last couple of years. And always, thank you guys.
All right. Well, here we go. Joe, thank you. We'll be in touch soon, and we'll get you guys in the studio to do that concert for us.
Right on. I hope that we can make that happen really soon, Tom.
Definitely, I do too.
Posted on that.
Well, best of luck, and thank you for another amazing product.
Right on. Thank you. Definitely. I'll be in touch soon.
All right. Abandon ship, everybody. Time to turn the wheels. Deepwater Bend. Check it out. I'm Lounges. I'm out of here. Adios.